Chapter 20. A Happy Ending. A few months after old Osborne died, Jos, Amelia, Georgie and Dobbin went on a long holiday to a popular German holiday town where they rented a house. At a masked ball one evening, Georgie got bored watching the dancing and went into the room where people were playing roulette. He went and stood beside one of the women who was wearing a black mask. Just then, Jos and Dobbin entered the room.
"You shouldn't be in here, Georgie," Dobbin said. "Come with me. Your mother is waiting for us in the ballroom."
Dobbin and Georgie left the room. Jos sat down next to the woman in the black mask and began to play roulette. Suddenly, the woman began to speak to him in English with a French accent.
"I recognised your nephew at once," she said. "He looks exactly like his father, and you haven't changed at all."
"Who are you?" asked Jos, mystified.
The woman slowly removed her mask.
"Good heavens!" cried Jos. "Becky!"
"Yes, it's me," said Becky, but without the French accent. "I'm staying at the Elephant Hotel. Come and visit me soon."
She touched Jos's hand, then got up and left the room. The Elephant was not one of the town's better hotels, and Jos wondered why she was staying there. But he soon discovered the reason. It would be too shocking to tell you everything that Becky had done since leaving England, but Jos heard part of it when he visited her the following day.
"Since Rawdon left me, I've travelled all over Europe," Becky said. "He used to send me money, but he died 2 years ago, and since then I've had to support myself. I give music lessons occasionally, and, well, sometimes I win at gambling. The worst thing is that little Rawdon had to go and live with Rawdon's brother. Oh, how I miss my son."
Becky put her hand on her heart and looked very sad.
"Oh, how terrible for you," Jos said.
Becky touched his hand.
"You know, Jos," she said in an intentionally shy voice, "you were the first man that I ever really loved."
Jos looked embarrassed and didn't answer. There was silence for a moment.
"And how is Amelia?" Becky suddenly asked. "I often think of dear Amelia. She thought I'd tried to take George from her, but she was wrong. He pursued me."
"I will tell her that," Jos said.
They talked a bit more, and by the time Jos left, he was convinced that everyone had treated Becky horribly. Later, he told Amelia and Dobbin all about her.
"She hasn't got any money," Jos said, "and she's living in a terrible hotel."
Amelia's old anger at Becky gradually disappeared as Jos spoke.
"Oh, poor Becky," she said.
"I'm going to visit her."
"Why?"
"She hurt you very much," Dobbin said. He had hated Becky ever since the ball in Brussels, where she had flirted with George in front of Amelia.
"That was many years ago," Amelia said coldly.
The following morning, Becky looked out of her window just as Amelia approached the hotel. A few minutes later, there was a knock at her door. Becky opened it and greeted Amelia as if in surprise.
"Oh, Becky!"
Amelia cried, and the two women embraced. For more than an hour, they talked about Becky's problems and about their sons, who were the same age. By the time Amelia left, she had made a decision.
"I'm going to invite her to come and stay with us here," Amelia told Dobbin when she got back to the house.
"What?"
Dobbin said incredulously.
"Why?"
"We've got an extra bedroom here," Amelia said. "So why should she stay at that horrible hotel?"
"She's not a true friend to you," Dobbin said angrily, "and I don't like her."
"Well, I like her," Amelia said firmly, "and I'm sure Jos won't object. You can't tell me who I may or may not invite."
"If she comes to live here," Dobbin said, getting even angrier, "I'll leave."
Amelia was shocked.
They argued for some time, but neither of them changed their mind. When Jos arrived home, Amelia told him her idea. As she had predicted, he agreed. Becky came to stay in the house the next day. As Jos, Becky, Amelia and Georgie sat down to dinner that evening, Dobbin came downstairs with his baggage. "Goodbye," he said, and quickly left the house. Georgie followed him outside, and Amelia watched through the window as they hugged goodbye. When Georgie came back into the room, he was crying. For once, Amelia could not cry. She was still too angry, but she thought about Dobbin a lot. A few weeks later, Jos suggested that they spend the summer in Ostend, near the sea. Becky was happy to do whatever Jos wanted, and Georgie was excited by the idea of being at the seaside. Amelia was happy to leave the town that was so full of memories of Dobbin. Even in Ostend, however, Amelia couldn't stop thinking about Dobbin, and she became very depressed. Finally, one morning, she wrote a letter to him in England, telling him that she loved him and inviting him to come to Ostend. That afternoon, Becky decided to talk to Amelia. She had noticed her depression and knew that it was because of Dobbin. "You must think about your future, Amelia," she said firmly. "I suspect that Dobbin has wanted to marry you for many years. Why don't you marry him? You love him, don't you?" "I think I've loved him for a long time," Amelia said quietly. "But I could never forget George."
"Could never forget him?" Becky exclaimed. "He was a selfish, arrogant idiot. He only married you because Dobbin forced him to keep his promise to you. George told me that in Brighton the week after he married you."
"You're lying!"
Amelia shouted. "No, I'm not," Becky said. She took a small piece of paper out of her pocket and gave it to Amelia. "He gave this to me in Brussels. He put it in my bouquet of flowers. He wanted me to run away with him. Read it." Amelia cried as she read George's love note to Becky. She felt sad that George had not loved her as she thought he had. But she also felt free of her past. "Now I can love Dobbin with all my heart," she thought. "I hope he can forgive me for the way I've treated him."
"Write and ask Dobbin to come immediately," Becky said.
"I wrote to him this morning," Amelia said with a smile. 2 days later, Amelia asked Georgie to go for a walk with her to the port to watch the ship from England arrive. She explained to Georgie that Dobbin might be coming to visit. Seeing the smile on George's face, Amelia thought, "Georgie hopes Dobbin comes as much as I do." When they reached the port, Georgie said excitedly,
"Look, Mother, there's the ship!"
As the ship came closer, Amelia's heart beat faster. Finally, it was in the port, and the passengers were getting off, and,
yes, there was Dobbin. She and Georgie ran to him. Amelia and Dobbin kissed, while Georgie danced around them with happiness.
Amelia and Dobbin soon returned to England and got married. After their wedding, Dobbin retired from the army and they bought a house near Queen's Crawley. They became good friends with Pitt and Lady Jane, and when Amelia and Dobbin had a daughter, they called her Jane, after Lady Jane. Georgie also found a special friend at Queen's Crawley, Little Rawdon, who was still living there happily with his aunt, uncle and cousins. The two boys were exactly the same age and had many of the same interests. They soon became very close. Later, when Lady Jane and Sir Pitt's own son died, Rawdon became the heir to Queen's Crawley. And what happened to Becky, the heroine of our story? She went to live in France with Jos, travelled the world with him and looked after him when he became ill. When Jos died, he left half his money to his sister, Amelia, and half to his dear friend, Becky. Becky returned to England and started a new life of comfort and security, which is all she had ever wanted. The Dobbin and Crawley families, including Becky's son Rawdon, didn't want to see Becky again, and Becky understood this. She now lives happily in her beautiful home in Bath, where she's got many interesting, vivacious friends who are quite enchanted by her. I've heard that she gives generously to charity, for Becky is now a very rich woman. And here, dear readers, we must leave Becky, as our story has come to an end.